flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at BollandBranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
A joke. It's not even a game anymore. They play dodgeball and flag football. But
Snoop Huntley making it should have killed the Pro Bowl, like any cachet it had left dead.
I remember Tyrod Taylor kept making it year after year because
The reason it's never going to die is because guys still get it written into contracts, I think, as an incentive.
Well, the reason why it won't die is because the NFL makes it a game in a weekend that gets put into their TV packages.
I shouldn't say the reason
it'll
die.
And it raises
the
price of things.
I shouldn't say it'll die as like a thing the NFL puts on. The reason players will still occasionally care about it is because some of them might make 75 grand.
And even though the ratings are not like NFL games, the ratings are still shockingly high. More people will watch the Pro Bowl than any of the Stanley Cup final games this year.
I still think I'm sitting in a room with two people.
No, I won't watch it. I do not watch it.
No, that's like one of the only.
Is that where you draw the line?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I never watch it.
I'd rather go back and watch Super Bowl 14.
Now, would you watch an old Pro Bowl to remember how it used to be?
No, not really.
I watched them when I was a kid.
So we all agree that if we had our druthers, we would go with Justin Fields.
Yes.
I think Justin Fields will be cheaper, even though there's more competition. I see SpotTrack projects him as a guy that'll make less than $10 million. He's getting the Sam Darnold treatment from the contract evaluators. Mm-hmm. And Russell Wilson is still in the 30s. And the comp on Russell Wilson that I see used is Kirk Cousins' contract. Not that he'll get all that guaranteed money or in as many years, but as far as his play is gone, and also what he's used to making as a quarterback. Does he want to sign up for be a bridge guy and get paid like Gardner Minshew
and get
next
paid
year?
Bridge guy money.
I don't know that about him. I do think a few things we can make inferences on and assume are probably true. I think this comment about how their system was not tailor-made for Russell Wilson is something Russ said to Tomlin, or maybe even went up right up the ladder here and said to Art.
What is the system that's tailor-made for Russ? What's that system?
The offense
like?
That was in early in the year was for Justin, and I had to play in that system. And if you commit to me next year, let's make it a Russell Wilson offense.
What does a Russell Wilson offense look like here in the year of our Lord 2025? Everything's a designed rollout in a moon ball.
Let Russ do what he wants. I don't know what that means. I agree with you.
Russ would start a grease fire if you let him cook the way he wanted to try to cook.
I do believe from a conversation I had about a half hour before we went on the air here, there are still Russell Wilson sympathizers in that building.
Jeez.
There are absolutely people who think that they have a better shot in 2025 with Russ. And that if they had the authority or the clout or the power to influence the decision on who would come back, they would pick Russ over Fields.
Does that person inside that.
It's multiple people.
Is one of those people the person who has a working business relationship with Russ through Acrisure?
I don't know about that. I don't know. Might be.
I just am amazed that anyone could watch him and be like, yeah, there's definitely more to mine there. And I say that as a guy who thought he was going to be better than Fields all year.
Well, you want a funny stat on that? Yeah, to your point? This is one of the things I heard. Well, Russell Wilson's passing numbers were actually better than Hurts this year, and he did it with less to work with. Mm. Russ had 16 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. Hurts had 18 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. And look at how much better Jalen Hurts' supporting cast is than Russ.
Okay. So those people are just reading box scores and Pro Football Reference.
Well, I don't know about that, but I don't know we can try to guess who these quarterbacks are. But internally, they had Russell Wilson rated ahead of at least 3 quarterbacks who were in the playoffs this year.
Stroud?
No, you think?
Well, I'm trying to guess. Hurts, then? 3 starting quarterbacks.
Yep.
Is Hurts one of them?
I didn't get the names.
Okay, let's roll through it.
Mahomes,
no. Allen, no. Jackson, no. Stroud, they have to, because if they're just box score watching, Stroud's actual numbers look worse than Russ's. So I bet you Stroud is one of them.
Herbert, no.
You would think.
Even though he had a horrible playoff game. Guy threw more interceptions in the playoffs.
Did they really have him ahead of Bo Nix? They shouldn't. Bo Nix was better than Russ by the end of the year.
Put him in the maybe category.
Okay.
Goff, no.
Daniels, no. Stafford, no.
Put him in the maybe.
Listen, I think Stafford, the love for
him. Put Love in the maybe.
The love for Stafford, I think, can go overboard a little bit. He's one Kevin Dotson false start away from having KO'd the Eagles, most likely.
Yeah, but remember, this was said before the playoffs started.
I know.
Who else? Baker.
Baker had 41 touchdowns. You can't possibly.
Not Baker.
You can't.
Maybe Darnold?
Okay. I could at least listen to that one with the way he finished the season and the relative lack of track record there. Darnold, so we need to pick 3 out of these 5 then. Darnold, Nix, Stroud, Stafford, and Love.
Who do you think the 3 are, Donnie?
Give me that group again.
Darnold, Stroud, Nix, Stafford, Love.
Stroud, Nix, and Love.
Man, I think Darnold's got to be in there somewhere.
So do I.
I think Darnold and Stroud, just because I know Stroud's numbers were bad, and it sounds like these people are just literally doing what I keep denigrating them for, which is looking at Pro Football Reference.
I would think Nix is one of those guys. They played Nix, and he didn't play well against them. You know how much stock they put in how guys perform against them.
I think Pony's got a good point there. They're obsessed with how guys perform against them. In fact, if they had somehow dragged
That's actually why I don't think it's Hurts.
Oh, if they had
Hurts lit them up.
But if they had dragged their carcass to a pair of wins over Lamar, even if the second one was in an equally strange
No,
or
I still don't
fashion,
think they'd say that. No? I still don't think they would rank they can't rank Russ ahead of Lamar.
So you said this is multiple people still have support for Russ, huh?
I think when we heard what Tomlin said at his press conference and then when the Dulac and Kabali stuff came out about how the Arthur Smith Russell Wilson dynamic worked, you form opinions off of the information that's available to you. I think in that moment, most fans reasonably concluded, all right, this is good for Fields and bad for Russ. But in the last 24 hours, I've gotten a stronger sense that Russ is actually way more alive in this than people think he is.
God, that is a huge bummer, because if we come back with another drawing dead team next year and I got to hear Russ saying hey, we're going to go win 5 in a row after they start 1-4 and he's throwing picks galore and Tomlin's just gripping the steering wheel with white knuckles, I'm going to cry.
I have not asked anybody this, but I would be very, very, very interested in hearing what you never get in a press conference setting this. But if you went to, say, Arthur Smith, Terrell Austin, Mike Tomlin, and said, just out of curiosity, how do you think Russell Wilson would do in Philadelphia's offense?
What they would say?
What they would say.
You think they would believe that he could thrive because it's such a good roster?
Yeah.
I've always heard the problem with Russ, though, is Russ doesn't want to just hand the ball off. He does want to cook. That's why he wanted out of Seattle. And then Peyton was like, God, I hate this.
That's why...
Hurts, I think, does swallow his ego.
But that's why the... yeah, he does. You're right. But that's why the rekindling of the flame with Pete Carroll doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, people have put those two together. Like,
well,
oh,
not just fans. I mean, no, the media
analysts,
have come out and
no,
said
analysts
that too.
Have too. Like, that's how I first saw it, was a big like media personality did. But those two didn't like each other by the end.
Donnie, is it clear to you that your preference is Justin Fields over Russell Wilson? And if it's Fields who's back, you're like, okay, cool, let's go. If it's Russell Wilson who's back, you're going to actually be pissed and angry about it.
That is correct. I would be pissed and angry about it, and I think a lot of people would be.
Would you put yourself in pissed and angry camp, Chris?
Yeah, I would be.
It should be clear as day between the two guys what they should do. They don't have any sort of future with Russell Wilson. I understand that they may not have one. They very well may not have one with Justin Fields, but I don't know. It at least provides more excitement and hope, because it's a guy that's 25, going to be 26 years old, not a guy who's in his late 30s and is just a PR robot.
I think if you want to bring Russ back,
not to mention, how many of the other 52 guys do you think would say Russell Wilson over Justin Fields?
Very few.
I bet it's a landslide in favor of the younger guy.
I think a lot of those veterans that allegedly campaigned to get Russ to come here last year were pretty put off by the way things ended. I shouldn't make it seem like it's an open and shut case, but I think your Cams, your TJs, guys who said, hey, this dude has a track record, were pretty soured. And I think Fields has always been good at winning over the locker room. So I think he's a consummate pro type of guy.
I think you're probably right about that, but I do think these Wilson sympathizers that are there look at it this way. The offensive line wasn't good. It's going to be better next year. Jones at left tackle.
He makes
another
offensive
year
lines worse, though. He is part of the reason the line... I know the line was not good this year.
Well,
Russ actively makes them worse.
No, so Fields does and doesn't. Fields' running ability gets him out of trouble, but he also holds onto the ball longer than any quarterback in the NFL.
No, I understand that. I'm just saying Russ runs into sacks and panics,
sure,
and will take sacks,
yeah, like
rather
Kenny
than
did.
Throw... Yes.
But I do think that the pro-Russell Wilson argument is line will get better next year, and his weapons can't be any worse than they were this year.
Give the Steelers a chance. They were scouting defensive tackles today. Very strong class for that. I just think it's got to be Fields, because I think if you bring Russ back, but you're telegraphing that you think you can make little tweaks and contend, which you can't.
So
not with him.
I'm a very hard person to please on this issue. Because I agree with Donnie, if it's Russ, I'm going to be pissed and angry. But I also, when he said hope and excitement, I don't feel either of those two things with Fields either. I don't think Fields offers either one of those things. What he does for me is called younger and cheaper.
I would try to sign Fields to a two-year deal, and I would be positioning myself one way or another to try to pick my next quarterback in 26 when the class gets better. And at least with Fields for a year, you just design the offense for him. And I don't think he's going to swim, but you see how much he can prevent himself from sinking.
But the owner just said, I don't want an offense where it's like just based on quarterback mobility and a quarterback running the ball. And that's what a Justin Fields offense has to be, which makes me think that what I'm hearing, that there's more people who like Russ in that building might actually start with their owner on that.
He also, though, we didn't play it yesterday, but he also did say age was a consideration,
which I
think is relevant here. I really just,
here it is.
I can't bear
and
the
I
thought of
have
Russ
to take
again.
That into consideration. That's a factor.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year, because you
you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Age is a factor, yes.
I think they're both capable quarterbacks, and my preference would be to sign one of them. So that'll be the priority, and I think that will give us the best opportunity to move forward. Obviously, we'll be looking in the draft as well. We've got a whole quarterback room to fill, and so, there's jobs open in there, and so I wouldn't be surprised if we look in the draft as well, either this year or next. And so that's got to be the priority.
Donnie, if I told you all that money you spent on an engagement ring, that engagement ring would be taken away from you. It'd be thrown in the garbage if you got this question wrong. Will one of these three draft-eligible quarterbacks be on the Steelers roster in 2025? Will Howard, Jalen Milroe, Jackson Dart. Would you answer yes or no to that question?
I feel like there's a chance of Howard or Dart if they're like sliders, like big-time sliders. Milroe, I think after what we discovered yesterday about our buddy Jalen Milroe, there's no shot.
Those hands. Those tiny little hands.
A project with small hands.
They know what polished and small hands looks like. I can't help
it. All right, you still haven't answered the question, though.
Yeah, yes or no?
I'll say yes.
Man.
It better be like a major slide, and Howard doesn't feel like he's sliding. It almost feels like... And now you... This is the funny part of the Senior Bowl. Now you hear from people who are down there, wow, I'm hearing stories that Jackson Dart's going to sneak into the first round because he's made like two good throws in practice or whatever. Dart of all those guys is like weirdly the most interesting to me.
Yeah, he would have to be the guy that slides.
Little gunslinger or whatever. By the way, when I hear Arden that, just hearing that clip again, they're both capable quarterbacks in that like just utterly disinterested monotone. He sounds like he could be talking about the menu at a restaurant. Well, we got chicken piccata and steak Oscar. I think they're both...
I would pick piccata.
They're both capable entrees.
I love chicken piccata.
We're going to be looking for an entree still.
I could eat chicken piccata every day of my life.
Possibly veal parmigiana. But he just sounds like he's just...
Do you have something in your mouth?
Yeah, I didn't get through the peppermint lifesaver quick enough. Hey, if Dorn and Crowley can do entire shows with Zinzin...
I thought I saw Donnie with a Zin in either before the show today or yesterday. Is that accurate?
No, it is not.
What did you have on your front lip then? Nothing?
I don't know. Probably like, I don't know, we got Werther's back out there.
Oh,
I
yeah.
You put Werther's in the
oh,
front
yeah,
lip?
Oh, yeah. I'll throw this lifesaver was
I don't
in
know
the
what,
front lip.
I don't know
for
what you would
bit.
Have been looking at.
Yeah. I'll throw the lifesaver right here. But I have to talk, so I have to try to like kind of move it somewhere else. But yeah, I'll throw that in the old lipper in, the old peppermint lipper.
I do think one of those guys is going to be on their roster.
Which one?
And I didn't think that a few days ago. Now I think one will be.
Well, now, this is something I've got to ask you then. Do you think that one of those guys will be on their roster with the intention organizationally that they have just drafted their starter of the future? or with the intention that, hey, we might have like pulled a Kirk Cousins here. Not that, we know how that ended up
yeah,
in Washington.
I think it's that.
Like,
I think they need a new quarterback.
We'll get
room.
A depth guy. We'll
the
try
only
to,
guy
like,
under contract is Skylar Thompson. They don't have to keep Skylar Thompson. He can be a practice squad guy. I think that they'll re-sign Russ or Fields. That gives them one.
And then this guy's the backup, presumably. You'd hope a yeah. guy drafted in like the fourth round is good enough to beat out Skylar Thompson, I would think.
Yeah.
And then I would hope next year, 2026, the Pittsburgh Steelers in Pittsburgh have made a bold move. I mean, that the ultimate, Johnny, would be Arch Manning kicks ass, and they make a very bold move
you
up in the draft to trade for
Arch Manning.
Manning. You wouldn't be... Pony,
of course,
you said
I would
Kenny
be
Pickett
excited.
Would be the new Joe Montana. If they drafted Arch Manning, I don't know if you'd have clothes on by the end of the
but
night.
I mean, Arch Manning has played two games of college football, probably, if you add it all up.
They should have probably played him more, and Texas would have been even better than they were.
The all-time victory lap that would be taken on that...
By Texas
would be,
Keith?
No, it would be by Dom.
Oh, yeah.
We did a show together like last summer, and he said in 2026 they will draft Arch Manning.
By the way, I'll tell you where the Steelers would succeed greatly. Their rankings would shoot up on Barber Football Focus if they take Will Howard. They might become the Super
or
Bowl
Quinn
favorite.
Ewers. He'd count Quinn Ewers because he started at
he
Ohio
counts,
State.
And he counts Joe Burrow as an Ohio State guy, which is absolute bunk. Barber Football Focus has a very flawed algorithm and methodology.
Dom
here.
Also thinks Tomlin's a better coach than Andy Reid, so let's
Did you
obviously
see Dom's
take what
latest
he says
take
with
today?
A grain of salt. What's his new one?
He had one today that I kind of dunked on him for, and it's a little harsh, but he just said... He said, Adam Frazier's not a bad get for the Buccos. And I said,
oh, well,
yes.
We will...
I said, yes, actually, I think he's leaning much closer.
What
to
do you know?
That.
We got a Bucco minute coming up in a few minutes.
Well, that here's, was his pump.
Here's
that
Ron
him,
in
though.
Monroeville. Hello, Ron. Ron?
Jamal, do you think the Steelers should get Cordell Stewart to replace Wilson?
What are we doing here?
He's doing a... Starkey bit.
It sounded like an old grandma.
That's the member he called in and said, hey, Bob.
Oh.
You think the Steelers should bring back Tino Sinceri or something like that?
Wait, what was his original Glenn in Glenn World?
Hey, Bob.
Let's see if I have it here.
Sorry, Ron. I didn't know at first what you were going for. Hey, Bob.
Yeah, let's go to Glenn. And Glenn Willard.
Come on, we got
to
have
go out
it.
To Glenn. And Glenn Willard, that makes sense. Glenn, what's up? Did you move there because of your name?
Hey, Bob, you think Tyler Palco could be the Steelers' quarterback?
It's better than I remembered.
It's always so good when Bob realizes, and then like, he just gets mad.
Didn't you make another attempt?
Hey, let's get right to it. George in Washington, first up tonight. Hey, George.
Bob, in 1923... Charlie Grimm had a 30-game hitting streak for the Pirates. Do you think that Brian Reynolds is going to break that record?
Well, the way he's swinging the bat now, yes.
I had no
expect
clue.
That to continue, although it gets harder as the days go on.
He had zero clue.
Bob, I remember Charlie Grimm. He played with Pi Trainer. Hold on. Let me put my wooden teeth in so you can understand okay. me better. Bob, what are you doing taking George in Washington?
Yeah.
I like when he tries to pretend, oh, I was in on it all along. I knew it was you. Knew what you were doing there.
All right. Time for a Bucco minute because the Pirates have signed... Another blast from the past. Two major league hitters have signed major league free agent contracts with the Pirates this offseason. Andrew McCutchen and now Adam Frazier back on a one-year, $1.5 million deal.
I'm not sure what the latest valuation is for how much money a win costs on the old like wins above replacement versus dollar scale. It used to be like one win above replacement was worth like $3 million. Even if that is still holding true, they overpaid. He wasn't even worth half a win above replacement last year.
I don't get it. I don't get this one. He's not a good hitter anymore.
He's a light hitting, decent defending, an almost non-existent hitting, decent but not great defending middle infielder. You going to make the whole plane out of that?
He's a 33-year-old player who...
How many years removed is he from his best years, Pony?
2021.
Pretty much 5 years almost?
Ben Cherington made the right decision. He traded him while the guy's value was never higher. He went to the All-Star game, got off to a fabulous start in that 2021 season, went to the All-Star game in Colorado, and got shipped out to San Diego for Jack Sawinski and a guy that is banned from baseball. Do you remember his name, Donnie?
Tucapita Marcano.
Yep. And every team he's played for since.
They'd bring him back to play second base, yeah, too.
San Diego, Seattle, Baltimore, Kansas City. Four stops, four places where he didn't hit. I don't think when you're a team like the Pirates, you should be giving a guy like that a bench spot. I mean, I'd rather... They don't have a lot of left-handed hitting players in their organization who are close to the major leagues. That's part of the problem. But I just, I'm struggling as to where he fits in. If he's platooning at second base, that's not a good sign, because Gonzalez is a right-handed hitter, and that would mean if you play the percentages, lefty goes in against a right-handed pitcher. Most starting pitchers are right-handed, that Frazier would play more than Gonzalez. You don't want that.
Nope. Don't really. I just.
If I had to pick a guy to play right field right now, among the options on their current roster or minor league Rolodex of players, I'd actually prefer Jack Sawinski to Frazier, just because
power.
Maybe he gets back to hitting for power like he did a couple of years ago. Not that I'm counting those chickens before they hatch.
They have Paul Skeens, and this is what they're doing, man.
I mean, is this like Key Brian Hayes insurance at third for his achy, breaky back?
Was he Billy Ray Cyrus now?
Because in that way, in that respect, even though Hayes is younger, I don't think that Hayes... I kind of throw Hayes and Frazier into the same bucket or basket when it comes to the type of hitters I evaluate them as.
As in bad ones?
Yes.
You got to put... How about you just platoon them as bad hitters? Except you can't, because Hayes' glove is that much better. This just...
Blows? Is that the word you're looking for?
Yeah, but I respect that you always, as a baseball guy, I think it gets your brain worrying to try to, like, figure out a way that this would somehow make any sense. You, like, get... Let me put it this way. When you are confronted with a signing like this, I think your brain does turn to, how can I at least try to seriously approach what this might mean for the team? I think this is one where my lizard brain has it right. Bad signing, bad player, what are they doing? Oh, wait, exactly what I thought they would be doing.
This is the Post-Gazette's read on it, Hiles. Frazier's ability to play the corner outfield spots will likely be the key to his playing time. His left-handed bat could also allow for him to serve as a platoon at second, pairing with right-handed hitters Gonzalez and York. If that second part is the idea, then he will... For the most part, for all intents and purposes,
he starter.
Becomes their starting second baseman. And this is not 2020 or 2019. It's 2025. He's not that kind of player anymore.
It's just, I don't know. It's
discouraging is what it is.
I can't even say it's a huge bummer. It's exactly what I expect them to do. I have no reason to think that they're going to operate any differently. And this is what you get and get told, no, you know, there's urgency to win playoff games, to make this team good right now. And then the real truth is, the truest thing anyone said was when Ben Cherington and others, I think, kind of tipped their hand and said, we expect most of our improvement to come from within. I.e., don't look for anybody riding in on a white horse, because you're not going to get one.
Where are the offensive internal improvements? Cruz at 26... taking a significant step.
At least somewhat. At least that's, like, plausible.
Joey Bart picking up where he left off last year.
His pedigree. Again, I'm going to try to be gentle and give these all benefit of the doubt.
Spencer
Horwitz pedigree.
Hitting like he did in Toronto.
Although there's plenty of metrics out there about him that suggest that In fact, he might hit worse here.
Gonzalez playing like he did in the first half of the season and not so much the second half. Brian Hayes getting back to the guy he was in the second half of 2023 and not for all of 2024. Henry Davis.
No, don't even. Don't do that.
Did you hear what Parado said about Henry Davis, Donnie?
He's like out of sight, out of mind.
Didn't even invite him to Pirate Fest.
I mean, Henry Davis.
Not that he has the kind of warm and fuzzy, engaging personality that you'd want at an event like that with fans.
I think Henry Davis has two problems, one of which is that he literally can't hit, apparently. The other one is Henry Davis.
Now that you're putting it that way, Chris, let's peg him in as the six hitter in this lineup.
Well, the other part of it is kind of like it does play into why would you maybe not invite him to Pirate Fest? I remember hearing whispers when he was at Louisville. There were things said like, yeah, sometimes he's got an aggressive personality out there that rubs people the wrong way. And like the subtext was, yeah, his teammates even thought he was kind of an a-hole. Like not terribly well-liked necessarily was always the vibe I got. Not anything I had heard like officially from somebody behind the scenes and off the record, but that I could go with, but just a sense.
Jim Rosati. On Twitter.
He's Northside Notch for the blog incline.
Saying the only way this makes any sense is if Hayes' back is entirely effed and the Pirates are banking on Triolo getting the bulk of the at-bats at third base, thus freeing up a spot for Frazier to be the main utility guy. Not exactly Josh Harrison in 2014 here, folks.
Man, if I never see Jared Triolo take another big league at-bat.
Big tree!
How about this for a take? He's better with a bat in his hands than the guy that's in front of him.
Who, Big Trey?
Yeah.
That's like saying
the other guy has a back of like a 75-year-old.
That's like saying I've got a better haircut than Michael Jordan. We're both bald.
Well,
Donnie, grade the signing.
D minus?
F.
Yeah.
He had his worst season of his life last year, but it's just a typical, well, he was good a few years ago, and he was good for us. I bet he'll be good again. I mean, I hope there's still room on Federal Street. I was going to get my lawn chair and cooler down there after the show.
Who's this for? Like, what Pirates fan out there sees this and is like, thank God they got Adam Frazier back? I'm asking you guys not even rhetorically. Tell me who this excites. Jim Rosati, who you just cited, I know Jim a little bit. I think I went on his podcast.
Oh, congratulations on your success.
And he is one of the more optimistic Pirates fans out there that like kind of covers the team as a hobby. And when he's saying the only way it makes sense is if the guy who they gave a long-term contract to's back is completely effed beyond recognition, oh, great. Cool.
All right, that was a Bucko minute.
Can't say that I feel better about things 10 minutes in here. After a 10-minute Bucko minute, feels like things have gone the other way.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.